The first reading from Daniel chapter 7 has one of the more famous prophecies from the Old Testament. It describes God the Father as the Ancient of Days, with clothing and hair pure white, like snow and wool. And then one like a son of man is presented to him, seemingly as to an equal. But there's not a description for that son of man. The title, son of man, is Jesus' favorite title for himself throughout the Gospels. In the book of Revelation, John describes the risen son of man as having hair white as wool and snow, just like God the Father and Daniel. The New Testament clearly understands Daniel chapter 7 as a prophecy about Jesus, who is equal to God the Father. With that little nugget, let's look now at what the gospel tells us in the Transfiguration. First, this happens 6 days after another event. In that earlier event, Jesus taught that it was necessary for the Son of Man to suffer the cross and die. And after hearing those words, the gospel says that Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. Never a good idea. In the gospel today, there's another taking, but this time it's Jesus who takes Peter, James, and John, and brings them up a high mountain with him. In that earlier passage, Peter took Jesus aside. That's stationary. That's off his path. Here, Jesus takes Peter high up a mountain, a traditionally biblical place of revelation and encounter with God, right on the path. We also know now that we don't take Jesus anywhere. Rather, we let him be in charge of us. He takes us with him to encounter the divine. And when Jesus is transfigured, it's not that suddenly his face reflects the light of the sun. No, his face shines like the sun. Jesus himself is the source of light that the three disciples see coming forth, bursting forth from his face. Human faces don't do this. Our faces don't shine like the sun. But Jesus's does. This is his divinity shining out through his humanity. God is light. John later teaches us in the first letter of John, God is light. And we learn something from this, that when divinity comes into contact with our humanity, it doesn't destroy it, but it does transfigure it. Wondrously, marvelously transfigures it. And so we learn that our humanity, when perfected, can indeed be transfigured gloriously by divine light. A second insight is that even the clothing of Jesus is transfigured. The gospel says it becomes white as light. Light reveals, right? We see with light, as opposed to natural clothing, which conceals. And this vision of transfiguring light is seen by Peter, James, and John. Their humanity isn't yet perfected as was the humanity of Jesus, but the divine light begins to penetrate them and to reflect off of them too. For example, seemingly, they're able to look on his face shining like the sun and able to endure it. They look at the sun. You You can spell that whichever way you want. And the power of this vision, in the power of this vision, Peter stands up and in sheer ecstatic delight cries out, "Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here." Notice the repetition of here. He wants to stay forever on that mountain. But also notice that he seems to make Moses and Elijah equal to Jesus. Also, never a good idea. All three get a tent, according to Peter. Peter's dazzled by the divine light, and he just starts babbling. Though an awed and contemplative silence would have been more appropriate. And the Father then proceeds to teach that lesson too. A bright cloud overshadows them. Bright, because this cloud represents the light-giving communion that is the Holy Spirit. And from this cloudy brightness, the voice of the Father speaks for the second and the last time in the gospel, saying nearly the same thing as he did at Jesus' baptism. "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." The Father has eyes only for the Son. His words point only to the Son, his eternal word, upon whom he delights. It's beautiful to ponder the Father delighting eternally in his Son. And here's the thing, wanting us to be delighting in the Son as well, to be delighted by the Son as well, and more, wanting us to be united with the Son so that he may delight in us also. The Father delights in the Son, wants you to delight in the Son, and wants to delight in you just as he delights in his Son. This divine event occurs on a high mountain, traditionally called Mount Tabor. In the gospel, Mount Tabor comes right in the middle between the Mount of Beatitudes and Mount Calvary. On the Mount of Beatitudes, Jesus poured forth teaching. From Tabor, he pours forth light. From Calvary, he will pour forth blood. That's why Jesus needed to descend from Tabor, because he hadn't yet ascended Calvary. But the apostles and you and I are strengthened to endure our own Calvaries because we've been given a glimpse of Tabor. And we know that Tabor isn't just for Jesus, but for you and me. Otherwise, his clothing would not have been transfigured. Otherwise, the three apostles would not have been able to see it and endure it. And those three weren't perfected. They weren't perfect afterwards either. They still struggled to understand, struggled to endure trials and persecutions. They struggled to resist temptation and sin. But the vision of Tabor brings hope in the transformative power of that divine vision, as well as the willingness to seek forgiveness. The three fell prostrate at the divine voice, calling them to obedience, listen to him, calling them to repentance. Don't put Moses and Elijah on the same level as my Son, in whom I delight. And in their prostrate repentance, Jesus comes and he touches them and raises them up. Forgiveness, healing, reconciliation. The three give us an example of repentant obedience when they fall prostrate on the ground. And Peter, in our second reading today, further instructs us to stay attentive to the prophetic word of God. Two powerful ways of prayer that help us to be strengthened by Tabor and to endure Calvary. Falling prostrate and focusing on the Word of God. So here's the homework for the week. Be attentive this week to your reading of the Word of God. And make time to prostrate yourself in humble prayer, waiting for Jesus to touch you and raise you up.